Last week, we started a brand new series entitled, God Never Said That. Last week, we actually looked at Psalm 97, verse 12, that says, may all who are godly be happy. We talked about how, to a large extent, we view God as a giant vending machine. You know, whatever we want, whatever we desire, he gives us. And if we don't want something, then we don't push that button, right? We talked last week how God never said that. God never said that above all else, God wants us to be happy. And we talked about how a lot of times people walk away from commitments that they've made because they don't think they're happy. So they break vows, they break covenants. And God, our happiness is not God's number one desire. That's not the biggest thing on his agenda. God wants us to be faithful. God wants us to be godly. God wants us to be holy. Certainly God wants us to be happy, but he wants us to discover that happiness through faithfulness and trusting in him. Well, today's week two of this God Never Said That, and we're going to look at something totally different, a brand new subject. I said to somebody this morning, I said, you know, this is the best sermon I've never preached. And I hope I do well enough that it's going to be a good sermon after I preach it. You know, I'm thinking about it when I'm looking at it on paper, and it's something that we all need to hear and know. So hopefully when we're done today, that this has been a pretty good word for you and for me. Let me show you a little video to introduce the subject. Watch this.
I just can't do it anymore. I have nothing left.
Between the divorce, the cancer, your mom dying and being laid off, I know it feels like you're going through a lot. Believe me, I have been there. Just remember, when God closes a door, he opens a window. And never forget, God never gives you more than you can handle.
God never said that.
Oh, I've got another one if you want to take a shot. Yeah, they come as a pair. Bring it.
You ever notice how a lot of people really think that God said exactly that? Did you know that? Nowhere in the Bible does God say that I will never give you more than you're able to handle. It's just not there. Now think about that for a moment, because I heard somebody say once, and I think it's true, that everybody is either one of three different situations in their life. They're either coming out of a really bad situation, right? Anybody here today, you're coming out of a really bad situation, you're glad that it's over, or you're going into a situation that's really bad. Maybe things are pretty good right now, but you can see down the road, around the bend, maybe tomorrow, things are going to get really, really, really bad. Or you're right now in the middle of it. Something really tough. And I think that's true. We're either coming out of a bad situation, going into a tough situation, or we're right in the middle of a tough situation. Anybody here feel that? Or if it's not true for you, it's true for somebody that you know, that you love, that you care about. I mean, all of us, we're either coming out of something, going into something, or right in the middle of something. Or if we're not, then somebody we know, someone that we love, is really going through a difficult time. Have you ever noticed that it never fails? When you get at that place, at that point, when things are really, really tough, you got some well-meaning, most of the time Christian, that comes to you and says something like that. Oh, don't worry. God, when God closes a door, he opens a window. Have you ever heard that? You know, matter of fact, what does that mean? I'm not even sure what that means. You know, God closes the door, he opens a window. What if the window's on the 16th floor, right? How, you know, I do know where it comes from, though. It comes from the Bible. You know, in the Old Testament, when the ark was being built, it said that God closed the door of the ark. And then later on in the story, it says that God, you know, they opened a window to look and to see if the floodwaters were receding. God closes the door, he opens a window. But that's a cliche, you know. Or have you ever been in a really tough situation? Maybe you're in a hospital. You're sitting with somebody that you love. Maybe it's you in the hospital. And somebody comes in, and in their well-meaning, with great intentions, they say, you know what? Just always remember that God never gives you more than you're able to handle. It's a cliche. And you know what? There's nowhere in the Bible that it actually says that. Now, I think what happens is that people misinterpret. Because some of you are sitting right here and you're saying, wait a minute, that's exactly what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. That's not what it says there. I think a lot of times people either misunderstand or misquote this passage of Scripture. It says God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out. You see that verse 13? Paul was talking to the Corinthians about what? About temptation. He needed to share with them some details about overcoming temptation. And he said, God is faithful. And this is the good news. He is faithful. And here's the good news about temptation, because some of you are facing temptations in life. He will help you with those temptations. He will give you a way out of those temptations. But He never says in the Word of God that God's never going to give you more than you're able to handle by way of difficulties and problems and burdens. I think what happens is that people either, and I've said this, they either misquote this or they misunderstand this. In other words, one of my pet peeves, and You ever heard anybody talking about the Bible and they refer to you to something in Revelation, you know, maybe chapter 22 and something about heaven, or chapter 14 and about, you know, problems and difficulties in life, and they say, you know, you can find that in the book of Revelations, chapter whatever. You know, there's no S on it. It's always just been a kind of a pet peeve of mine when people refer to the book of Revelation as the book of Revelations. There's only one Revelation. It was given to John. And I think the way that we misunderstand and we misquote something that's said in the Word. And there's no greater example of that than this particular verse. Matter of fact, let me just show you how this is not true when it says that we will never experience anything that's more than we're able to bear. Yeah, let's go to the Old Testament. You remember these guys? We had Gideon. Remember Gideon? Gideon was known as this great leader in times of battle. You got Moses, who was God's man. God sent Moses to Egypt to lead the people out of slavery. And then you have Queen Esther, who it says that she was beautiful, and it even says, somebody said to Esther that you might have been born for just this particular time in order to save God's people from destruction. And all those things are true, but the Bible also tells us some other things about these people. For example, Gideon, it tells us that he felt that he was inadequate. You ever felt that way? He felt that he was inadequate. Let me give you a quote out of Judges for Gideon. It says, quote, "I am the weakest in my clan. I am the least in my family. God, I don't have what it takes to do what you want me to do." Anybody ever feel like that? I mean, here's Gideon. God's going to use him to lead his army, but yet Gideon sees himself that he don't have what it takes. He's the least in his family. He's the weakest in his clan. Or how about Moses? We all remember Moses and how he led God's people and how he parted the sea and all these things. Do you remember what Moses said about himself? He recognized that what God was asking him to do was overwhelming to him. He says, "Now I am slow to speech. I'm not a good speaker. I'm not a good leader. These people are wearing me out. I can't do it all. I don't have what it takes." Anybody ever feel like that? I mean, have you ever said that? These people are wearing me out, right? I mean, you feel like that God has called you to do something, but you just seem overwhelmed. Or how about Esther? Esther, born for just a time as this. Esther said about herself, she says that she was afraid. Quote, "I am very, very afraid." She was afraid about what was going on around her. So the Bible never tells us that we will never experience that kind of overwhelming feeling that we are inadequate, that we are overwhelmed, that we can't do it, that we're afraid of what's going on around us. One of the greatest examples of this is King David. King David in Psalm 38 in verse 4, he says this. He says, "My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. I am exhausted and completely crushed. My groans come from an anguished heart." I mean, everybody feel like that? I mean, what's David saying? He says, "My guilt has overwhelmed me." These words were written when David's sin with Bathsheba had been found out. When he had been kind of called out because of his disobedience. When everybody else was bowing down to him as king, David all of a sudden was confronted with his sin. And he said, "My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. I am exhausted. I am completely crushed. My groans come from an anguished heart." Does that sound like the kind of theology that says that God's never going to give us a tougher time than we think that we can handle? Matter of fact, probably the greatest example of this comes from the life of Jesus. Jesus says in Mark chapter 14, he says, Jesus began to be deeply distressed and troubled. He said, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." Now listen, don't miss this. Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, God's Son, the creator and sustainer of all that there is. He says, "My soul is" what? "Overwhelmed with sorrow." To the point of what? To the point of death. You see, Jesus is telling us here that, listen, a lot of times there's going to be things come upon us that are going to be absolutely difficult, absolutely crushing. And he wants us to know that it's during those times that we can depend on his presence. He wants to teach us that we can depend on the presence of God. And we'll talk about that here in just a few minutes. But here's the point. Have you ever wondered if this is true? God never said, "I'm never going to give you more than you're able to handle in life." God never said that. And if he said that, and if it's true that he never said that, then why? I mean, think about it. As a father, as a husband, you know, I mean, I want the very best for my kids. I want my children to experience, you know, good things, and I want my family to have, you know, good times, and I don't want my family to go through tough things. And if God is our Heavenly Father, but yet he tells us that we are going to have those times when things are tough, when things are difficult, when things, as described by David and Jesus, that it's overwhelming, that we're full of sorrow, that we're to the point of death. You know, David said in Psalm 23 that even though I walk through a valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why is it that God says that there's going to be times that we're going to experience that? Well, let me give you a couple things here that I think are really, really important when it comes to this. The first one is simply this. I think that he wants us to depend on his presence. I mean, he wants us to know that he's here with us. And he wants to teach us that's what we depend on. That we don't depend on our own strength. Well, we don't just depend on our own ingenuity, but that we depend on him, our God, our Father, our Savior, and our friend. And you know why that's important? That's important because it's really easy that when life is really good, that we forget about God. Let me give you an example. This happens many, many times. Over the years in ministry, I've seen this happen many, many times. You have somebody that, you know, that comes to church, they get involved in church, maybe they accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, you know, they have this salvation experience, this born-again experience, and, you know, you just see them and they're just like a great family, wonderful family, beautiful kids, great job, and you're thinking, boy, they're just knocking it out of the park. And then for whatever reason, you don't see them for a while. And then all of a sudden, maybe after a few months, maybe after a year or longer, all of a sudden you see them again and you say, hey, I haven't seen you in a while. You know, what's been going on? And inevitably what they tell you about a struggle that they've gone through. And all of a sudden you realize that they kind of lost their way and they lost sight of their relationship with God when things were wonderful, when things were great, when they were on the mountaintop, when everything was peachy keen. And then all of a sudden, because you're either coming out of a problem, you're in a problem, or you're going into a problem. And they find themselves in that difficult situation again. And where's the first place they turn? They turn back to God. It is so easy when we don't depend on His presence, it is so easy to forget about Him. And He wants to teach us how important it is to know of His presence. And if you're here today and you realize this and you know this, then you understand how really important it is that we depend on his presence. You ever remember the story of Jonah? Story of Jonah in the Old Testament. Jonah chapter 2 specifically is what I want to show you here this morning. You know his story. Basically, God says to him, hey, Jonah, go and preach to the Ninevites. And Jonah was like, I don't really want to do that. And for whatever reason, he decides to go the opposite way. And he does that. And he rebels against God. And maybe it was simply that, you know what, my life's pretty good right now. And I don't need to be in the presence of God. I don't need to obey God. And he goes and does something else. And in an odd series of events, what happens is that he finally goes and is doing what God wants him to do. But how he ends up there is because he's on a ship. He ends up being thrown overboard the ship, and he's swallowed by a great fish, a great whale, okay? And we've all heard this story, but have you ever noticed Jonah's prayer from the belly of the whale, the belly of the great fish? Look at Jonah chapter 2 in verse number 2. It says, I called out to the Lord out of my distress. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I find that verse kind of funny. Out of my distress, he's in the belly of a great fish. Okay, he's just been thrown overboard because everybody on the ship realizes that they're in turmoil and they're in a great storm and they all may die because of his disobedience to God. So he's thrown overboard, he's swallowed by a great fish, and he doesn't realize it yet, but he's going to end up exactly where God wants him to be. But in the interim, it says that while he's in the belly of the fish, it says that I called out to the Lord out of my distress. Later on, verse 7 says, when my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord. You see, that's what we should do and what we need to do when we find ourselves in great distress, in a great turmoil. Psalm 145, David says, the Lord is near to all who call on Him. Here's the clear teaching of the story of Jonah, folks. Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. Never allow the presence of a storm to cause you to doubt the presence of God. Because why do we go through tough times? Why do we get beaten down? Why are we distressed? Why are we carrying such great burdens? I think to some degree it's so that we will learn to depend on His presence. Now notice Jonah didn't say, in my success I called out to the Lord. But he said, in my distress, I called out to the Lord. He said, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, God. Wow. I don't know about you, but I want the challenges of life to help me do that very same thing. Because here's the challenge that we face. We get right in the middle of the storm, and we start to wonder about God. Life isn't going our way, and we think, you know, life should be going our way. Maybe God isn't who He said that He was. And if God were with me, this would not be happening to me. And the point is, folks, is that down through history, God's people have always suffered these kinds of things. Why? So that we can depend on His presence. But there's a second reason. It's also so that we can experience his power. So that we can experience the power of God in our lives. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but I think that this is something that we really need to know. And I think that we need help to experience this kind of power, this kind of supernatural power, and what it can do for us in life. Let me use an example out of the Bible to help teach you this. Remember the Apostle Paul? Apostle Paul, there's a great episode in the life of the Apostle Paul. It's written for us in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we see Paul. Now, you remember Paul, right? Paul was the guy that wrote most of the New Testament. He established churches all over the known world at that day and time. He was an apostle of Jesus Christ. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks about a hardship. Paul talks about a burden that he's had. And does Paul say that, listen, God's not going to give you anything beyond what you can bear? Is that what he says? No, exactly the opposite. Matter of fact, Paul describes a thorn in his flesh. Most people think that he's describing a physical ailment, and that may very well be. But whatever it was something that was really debilitating to the Apostle Paul. And it says there in 2 Corinthians 12, you can read it, it says that he went to the Lord and he said, Lord, I pray that you'll remove this thorn from my flesh. God didn't take it. Matter of fact, it says that he went a second time and said, God, this thorn in the flesh, please take this from me. And he seems to indicate that it was causing him problems, problem in his life, problem in his body, problem in his ministry. I mean, all this stuff. And he says three times he went and he asked the Lord, take this thorn from me. And three times Paul's request was denied. Now, let me just stop for a second and just say to you, in my mind, if anybody should have gotten his prayer answered, it was the Apostle Paul. I mean, he gave up everything. Faithful to Jesus Christ as Lord. Gave his life to the ministry of the kingdom. Wrote many, many, many of the books that we read in the New Testament. And in this book that he wrote here to the Corinthian people, he basically says, listen, you know, it's not that God's going to give you more than you can handle, because there might be something going on in your life that you can't get rid of. And here's the point, folks, that we were created to need God, to depend on his presence, to experience his power. And if anybody should have gotten their prayer answered because of their faith, it should have been the Apostle Paul. But he didn't. You know, the other day I visited a dear lady in our church. Her name is Margie Stifler. If you've been around here at First Church for a number of years, you'll know Margie. She's a wonderful lady. She's quite sick. And I remember years ago, Margie never forgot a birthday in our home. I mean, my kids received birthday cards just right on time. There were many, many times that Dad forgot to send a birthday card. Margie Stifler never did. And I remember we would get these cards years ago, and even though Margie, later in life, she had a hard time writing, she'd always write you a note in the card, and it was hard to understand and hard to read. We would sit down and we would like try to decipher what she was saying, and one of the kids would say, I think that word, yeah, and we'd write that word. But we always made a commitment that we were going to read every word, we were going to understand every word, because she never missed a birthday. She never missed a holiday. She never missed an anniversary. She was always there. Well, Margie's quite sick right now. And you know, I went into the hospital the other day to see her, and she just wasn't herself. Her strength is just really low, and you know, she's been experiencing and fighting this disease for quite some time. And as I sat there next to her bed, I couldn't help but think, you know what? If anybody deserves goodness in their life, it's this dear woman. I'd never been around her that I'd talked to her for more than 15 or 20 minutes than at some time in the conversation she would bark like a dog. It's true. If you know, she would either be describing one of her sister's dogs or her neighbor's dog or whatever, and then talking about the dog, she'd say, woof, woof, woof. Or she would ask me, how's Wilson? Woof, woof, woof. How's Wilson doing? She'd always bark. I didn't get that. You know, she would always ask me about my children, I didn't get any of that. Matter of fact, she was mostly silent, simply because her strength was gone. Matter of fact, I want to just pause here a minute, and I'd like for you to help me bless Margie. She has sent thousands and thousands and thousands of cards. And when I told her the other day, I had trying to get her just to talk, and I said, you know, Margie, I just want to thank you for all the cards that you sent to me and Arlene and our kids over the years. I said, just thanks for all the cards. You know what she said? She said, you deserved every one of them. And then it was quiet. So I want you to send Margie a card. And here's the way I want you to do it. I want you to send her a thanking of you card and send them here to me, Margie Stifler, and send them here to the church, 113 Good Shepherd Road, Altoona, 16601. 113 Good Shepherd Road, Margie Stifler. Send them here to me. And I'm going to collect these cards over the next couple of weeks. And I'm going to take hundreds of cards to Margie. If she's still in the hospital. If she's back at the home, at home. And I'm going to read her every card that we collect. Just as a gesture, not only of how much we love her, but how she's taught us to depend on God, even during times like this. You see, folks, you and I need to know that. Here's what Paul said God said to him. Look at what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. He says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. This is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You see, folks, we spend all of our lives hoping that we never go through anything tough, where we're never burdened, where we're never beaten down, where we never get close to just not knowing where to turn. And Paul says, it's when we get to that place that I am strongest. You see, here's the point, folks. It's when we get to that point when God is all we have that we know that God is all we need. And as long as I think that I'm never going to experience anything that's more than I can handle, and that's the key here, folks, because when you're just thinking about yourself, more than I can handle, we got to bring God into the equation. Paul said, his grace is sufficient for me. When he asked for something to be taken from him three times, God said no. And Paul learned that even when God says no, that his grace is sufficient for him. That if he's going to boast, he's going to boast in God's power and in his weaknesses. Because when I am weak, then I am strong. You know why he said that? He said that because when you ask yourself why, we understand that the why is so that we can depend on his presence and so we can experience his power. I love Romans 8, 26, 28. You know the verse, don't you? In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, verse 26 says, and then he says, verse 28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Not that all things are good, but all things can work for good. So as Christian folks, we must know that God never said you will never experience anything that's more than you can bear. But just the opposite, the example of people in the Old Testament, the example of Jesus, the example of Paul, is that a lot of times we will feel like that we are carrying burdens that are beyond our ability to bear. But it's during those times that we realize, that we recognize that God will be with us through the end. You see, it's not just about us. It's about God working in us. You know, I'm sure you've heard me say over the years, when I travel, I love to listen to music. I love country music. I was raised on country music. You recognize this couple? This is a country music couple. Their name is Joey and Rory Feck, F-E-E-K. Rory is the husband, and his wife Joey. I don't know if you know their story or not. Fine-looking couple, aren't they? Several years ago, they appeared on one of those singing shows, on those contest shows on TV. And they didn't win, but they got noticed, and they got a record deal down in Nashville singing country music. And they had a number of records that became pretty popular. And actually, in 2010, they won an award as the best new country duo that year. And not long after that, you know, they were doing great, Joey was diagnosed with cancer. She had cervical cancer, but she went through treatments. She had an operation, and things went really, really well, and she was declared cancer-free, and they were all thankful for that. And then she found out that she was pregnant with their first child a couple years ago. And during that pregnancy, she found out that the cancer had come back. Now, she was able to have the baby. They were so excited to welcome little Indiana Feck into their home. She was born in just last year. A beautiful little girl. They didn't realize until after she was born that she had Down syndrome. But they talked about and even wrote about, you can read about it on their blog, what a joy this little girl was, and they loved her. But then she went back into cancer treatment, and it did not go well. And just a few days ago, they actually wrote on their blog that she had stopped treatment. And she'd gone home. And it was interesting because in reading this article about all that had gone on in their lives the last few years, Rory, the husband, actually said, "The doctors have done all they could do. Now we just need to trust in God." Now, I don't know what the future holds for sure for this young couple, but imagine that. Being on the top of the world, in the top of your profession, then finding out you have cancer, going through treatment and you're cancer-free, praise God. And hey, by the way, you're going to have your first child. And oh, by the way, the cancer's back. This beautiful little girl is born and such challenges. And all of a sudden you're a dad and you got this little girl in your arms and you're caring for your wife and you don't know what the future holds. I think what this man said when he said that, you know what, medicine, doctors have done all they could do. Now we must depend on God. You think he would say to you that God will never give you more than you're able to bear? I don't think he would say that, but I think that he would say that God is a great God that will help you even when you feel crushed under the weight of your situation in life. So today, folks, as we are here, let's hold on to this beautiful passage that God will work together for good to those that love Him. Let's not live our life of faith based on the cliches that the world throws at us. But may they be based on the concrete understanding that our God loves us and that even though sometimes life weighs us down, that He's going to be there to help us even when we feel crushed under the load. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank You for the realistic promise that You're going to be with us through everything that we encounter in life. And God, I thank You for the beautiful examples that we see in Scripture of people that feel burdened, that people that feel crushed, of people that feel overwhelmed, even as Jesus said, even to the point of death. But then, Father, may we know that You're never going to leave us. You're never going to forsake us. that the promise of Romans 8:28 is true for all of us, that even though we're going through a really dark time, that there's good that can come out of that darkness because of our faith in you. So God, I pray that when we experience those crushing times, that the why of understanding and appreciating your presence and experiencing your power, Lord, that both of those things would be so real to us. And that we would feel, Lord, the power that comes from your Holy Spirit living inside each of us. And God, I pray that that would be true for every person in this place of worship today. God, I know that there's people right here, right now, who feel crushed from what they're going through, or what they've coming out of, or what's coming up. And God, I pray that even through all of that, that Lord, you would give them a peace that passes all understanding. Help them, Father, to depend on you in those tough times. Lord, may we all know that it's not about keeping us from all these things, but Lord, but helping us to grow and to be faithful through these things. So Lord, may it be so for all of us as we sing, as we share together. In Jesus' holy name, amen.